Astrology for Artists, the Art of Living, reading for Cancer. Any way you want to orient that chart on Cancer, Moon, Sun, Rising Sign, Stellium, a group of planets, your partner, something like that. My name's Eric, here to talk to you about art and astrology and the thing that makes humans human, the thing or two that makes humans human. Now, I'm seeing some evidence trickle by periodically that other critters make art. I can't think of any for now, but I think when I think of human, I think of those caves in France where the hunt is illustrated, because these people a long time ago had to express themselves in some way and put their life up on that wall, an image of their existence, evidence of their existence, which we can now look at in some awe 10 or 20,000 years later. And I'm beginning the series of readings tonight, 5:27 p.m. on the 23rd, with the Sun in Leo and the Moon in very late Libra with the sign Cancer. After a discussion with myself during part two of the intro, the heart of the matter, wherein I drew a card, an oblique strategies card by Brian Eno, who's going to be our companion through this whole journey. Wherein he said, question the heroic model. And I thought, well, okay, that's interesting. Question the heroic model might mean go back to this thing that I like to talk about called the Thema Mundi, this teaching chart that is the oldest known document, as far as I know, the oldest known document that explains astrology to us from way back a few centuries before the purported birth of Jesus. And in that model, Cancer is the sign rising in the chart of the world. Now, I may be the only astrologer who thinks, wow, this should really change everything. The sign Cancer is the rising sign for the chart of the world, and the Moon is therefore the planet in the first house, because that's how the Thema Mundi is organized. We know the rulerships because we have this thing, and it shows 15 degrees Cancer rising, and the Moon is in the first house. Go figure. And this is a big difference to Aries rising and Mars in the first house. I think that humans think of humans as being Aries rising and Mars in the first house as a bunch of aggressive sods who are greedy and self-serving and want to get everything from everyone and conquer and cause mayhem and kill. And according to Mars, there's no difference between sex and rape, and there's no difference between, you know, wanting and stealing and all this stuff. And it really isn't all that bad, but Aries is the god of war, and much of the story of humanity is told through warfare and desire as expressed through warfare. But really, the story of the human race, as far as I can tell, the real human race, not the few kind of maniac emperors and warlords who try to control everyone, but rather just us people. We want to feed the family. I think we want a dry roof. We want a brood, a sense of that small community, that little tribe. We want to take care of ourselves and take care of each other. And the reason I like the Thema Mundi chart as a picture of the human race is that it expresses an image of humanity as a thing that is about caring. Now, Cancer has a reputation among some astrologers for being pretty self-centered. But the thing is that I think that in its true expression, this is the kind of self-centered that would say, take care of yourself so you can take care of everyone else. Because while Cancerians may be self-centered, and this can be expressed in various shadow forms as something that is unhealthy and excludes others, I think really the purpose of that self-centeredness is a kind of a gestalt reality where the human having the experience of existence must be at the center of reality. And then from there we can extend and define our world in some interesting ways. So therefore, I'm orienting the beginning of this process on the sign Cancer as sign one, probably present the signs in that order. And the concept of astrology for artists is in part an orientation on the fifth house. The fifth house of Cancer is Scorpio. And this very nicely supports an idea that I have about the creative essence of humanity, which is that it is intricately and necessarily and all that connected to sexuality. And so with the sign Cancer, we get an overlay of the fifth house, the house that I've explained in the introduction as being the one about pleasure and play and taking risks and finding that core child self that is able to immerse itself in the world of senses and curiosity and exploration of existence for the sake of understanding and learning and knowing. And that overlays with Scorpio, which is it's a complicated sign, but if you think of Scorpio as running the range from DNA, the exchange of information in DNA, which we know from biologists that the way humans exchange DNA and reproduce one another is intimately connected to mortality. Now, I cover this in the series, it's not about sex, it's about self, and I can't really do it justice here, but I will say that there are a number of connections between sex and mortality, including that a certain phase of programmed cell death begins at puberty, for one thing, and so that the experience of puberty and the hormone rush and the emergence of sexual consciousness also comes with a biological signal about mortality. And poets and so forth have described this for a long time, and we all know that petit mort in French means the little death, which is orgasm. And so this connection between sex and death is intuitive in a way. And so that is contained in Scorpio, and also all the exchange of DNA and all the surrender and this process of things kind of rotting and returning to the earth and then sprouting again is also a thing that is inherent in Scorpio. And so too is the emotional depth of experience. And that's something that harmonizes very well with the sign Cancer. And so Cancer, by its nature, invokes the fifth house of its own sign, which is Scorpio, and then also the kind of organic mysticism of the ninth house, which for Cancer is Pisces. And so this tells a great story of the human family, I think. The fact of Cancer rising and the moon being the planet, not Mars. We are not Mars people here on Earth, as some people are, but in reality we are cyclical beings. We ebb and flow. We feel different ways at different times. And I think that excuse me, we're far more interested in nurturing growth than in killing, basically. And the killing is a kind of a perverse outgrowth of something. And the opposite of that is the experimentation with and procreation of life. But life is just one form of creativity, perhaps a root form, a seed form of creativity, from which all other creative experiences flow. And there are, you know, some ideas that are going around about how you can take sexual energy and kind of transmute it or sublimate it or transform it in some way into creative energy. My sense is that that is a misguided idea, and that the thing that we're really looking to do is get that creative reaction going where the expression and the feeling and the sexuality and sensuality of existence and all the emotions that are involved there are part of who we are. And please, by the way, I'm having a little allergy issue with my voice, so I am coughing and sneezing and wheezing a little bit, and this has just suddenly come on a few minutes ago, so my voice is not exactly where I like to have it, but I'm going to keep going and sharing these ideas with you right now. So what is beautiful about the sign Cancer is that it overlays the sexual and the creative more obviously than the orientation of any other sign. It does not separate them or look at them as different functions, different experiences, but rather expresses a capability to keep them together. And as I've been doing this work, I've been going back and forth on my theories of sexual healing and creative healing, and being someone aware of the need, the depth of the need that people have for sexual healing, and also realizing how taboo and how unavailable that can be. Sometimes it almost seems like the concept doesn't exist except as some wispy desire in the back of people's minds. And lately I'm thinking, well, another way to access something similar and unravel that knot would be through art. Whether we're talking about formal art therapy as trained, mostly in Europe, and sometimes in the United States, and or whether we're talking about a kind of informal self-therapy process using the immersion of and the exploration of one's creative abilities to set free the kind of bindings that are put on us by adult life, and reclaim the curiosity about the freshness of experience that is so inherent in a childlike perception of reality and also in a sexually alive perception of reality. They're very similar, and I'm pretty sure that one of the reasons why the sex, creativity, curiosity thing is a taboo, has a veil thrown over it, is because it would admit that the child state of mind, and presumably children, are sexual, whereas our culture claims that they are not, and treats them as if they are not, and raises a kind of a constant hysteria. And that hysteria has a real way of snuffing out curiosity and a sense of experimentation and passion for existence. So let me say to you first that claiming creative ability and self-healing creativity has a lot to do with being at peace with your sexuality. Now, one thing that has happened over the past couple of years is that Saturn has passed through Scorpio. And there are a few things that can focus attention on something like Saturn can. And there are going to be people who have experienced this as a vast and lengthy dry spell of sex, and there are going to be some who have done a lot of coming to terms with their sexuality, a lot of embracing in that way that Saturn necessitates. It's almost as if Saturn says, okay, the bottom line has now come here, and here is your fifth house in Scorpio, and that means coming to terms with your creative and procreative ability. And now for a little while, through right around the time when Venus stations direct in September, Saturn is going to be in Scorpio a little bit longer. It spent 2 years there, late 2012 to late 2014, went into Sagittarius, and then recently retrograded back into Scorpio for one last 90-day, let's wrap this up spell. And we're in the midst of that right now. Saturn stations direct on August 2nd, probably right around when you're listening to this, and then it will move through that last couple of degrees of Scorpio. And this is a very important time, I think, because it is so rare that Saturn comes to a sign for kind of rinsing out and coming to closure and resolution of the that coming to terms process. And if you think of what, you know, you now know about the fifth house, and you now know about Scorpio, and you know about Saturn as this thing that describes necessity, urgent necessity, you can then expand your idea of what you've been through the past couple of years, and you know, get ready for a change, sea change in the environment, and something new to express itself. Now, Saturn in the fifth may well have also confronted you with certain limitations that you've had, and for a lot of people, it's not that much fun. And for others, they get the message that this is what must be. So it's interesting. I happen to be born with Cancer rising, so I've experienced this transit. And I would say that it's been probably a little more interesting time sexually than usual. I tend to have a kind of a, contrary to my reputation, very slow-paced erotic life. And I have, of course, felt my reality, experienced it, lived it, but also have poured energy into visual art and music the past 2 years. So in that sense, it has been a time of focusing not only discipline, but intention and experiencing the pleasure of creativity, which can take some work. I mean, in Saturn style, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some practice. But there is something about doing visual art over these past, especially the past year, that has strongly influence my whole worldview and help me rearrange my thinking about my writing and the way that I do business and focus a purpose where that purpose is an emotionally fulfilling and enriching and admittedly necessary kind of fun. Okay, so perhaps there will be more on that for you in the Scorpio reading a few signs from now. And I will, of course, give more detail on what's going on in Scorpio. Right now, I want to talk about the Venus retrograde and the change of signs by Jupiter moving from Leo to Virgo. There's a lot going on that Leo-Virgo line, which for you is the cusp of your second and third houses. And with Venus retrograde in Leo, that is focusing a huge amount of energy on your second house, on Leo. Now, as I've mentioned in my discussions of the theme of Monday here and there in the previous section, Cancer and Leo are at the heart of the zodiac. They are the two signs ruled by the luminaries, the moon and the sun, and they are therefore the inherent basic yin and yang of the zodiac. And you're born with one of those signs rising and with another one as your second house. And the second house is the second most important house, but I will dare say not by much. The second house is the house of resources. So if the first house is who you are and how you identify, and I would remind you that if you have a strong Cancerian orientation, rising sun, moon, for example, that who and what you are must necessarily cycle and change as a process of evolution. But there's something much more stable in your second house, because the moon orbits the Earth, interestingly, the only thing that just orbits the Earth in astrology. And the sun is the center of the zodiac. And so these are very opposite signs, right? The moon is a satellite of the Earth, and the sun is the star around which everything in our solar system orbits. Of course, the sun itself is orbiting the galaxy. The galaxy is flying through space toward the great attractor, some million miles an hour. It's very fast. But for our purposes, the sun is this stable thing that we can depend on, that holds our Earth in its relative place. And this is the planet and the sign that are associated with your house of resources. And your resources include your money, your wealth, of whatever form. But the more significant way to think of resources is all of your resources, is all of the things that you have access to. And with the sun in your second house, with Leo ruled by the sun as your second house, I would put out to you that you have basically everything as your resource. You have all the energy of the sun and all the planets that orbit it right there in your, what you might think of as your personal spiritual bank account. This battery that you draw upon to extract the things from existence that you might need or want to work with and make things with and nurture people with and nurture yourself with. And so Venus is moving through this region of your chart retrograde. It's been there for a while. There's been one conjunction to Jupiter, which we, most of us saw this actually happen, and there'll be another one in a couple of weeks in Leo. And my take on Venus retrograde in Leo is that it is about a retrieval of something. It is about finding something that was lost. So you might think of Venus retrograde as a kind of a scavenger hunt for all of the resources that you didn't know that you had. And the retrograde is pointing to the past, and it's pointing inwardly. And the suggestion there is to look inwardly for those resources, to reach into yourself and find what you possess, what you have, and to share what you possess and what you have, to extend that. Because the thing that the sun is good at doing is shining and giving itself away, and you have a kind of a karmic assignment to be one who shines and shares and makes the wealth that you have available to others in a collective way. You're the kind of keeper of that wealth. But the thing with the Venus retrograde is you are now in the process of finding resources that you didn't know you had, or that you thought you had as a child and then you forgot them, or you were talked out of them. And now you get to go back and look for them. And there's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff in there about how you relate to others socially, for example. There's a kind of an endless resource there, that your community is one that's going to come up in the third house in a moment as well. There is something there about your ability to earn money from the work that you do, a thing that is elusive for most people, to be able to really connect their values and what they use to support themselves. Too often, people must do things that are out of accord with their values. And so here, there is an exploration of reaching in for those values that you have. And Mars is now going to enter the picture and be in Scorpio, rather in Leo. And this is driving you with a kind of passion and a sense of drive and will and necessity. You're less likely to not take advantage of what you have. You are much more likely to want to take advantage of what you have, to recognize what you have, and to connect and get more. And I would observe, get more and to share the more that you get. So when you think of this inner scavenger hunt for your inner wealth, all the things that you have, all these talents and abilities and skills and desires and love that you have, and then adding Mars to that, there is a kind of an exalted quality about the power of wanting. Now, it's very interesting that the Oblique Strategies card, the card by Brian Eno that I selected prior to embarking on the signs, is a card that says disconnect from desire. So the Oblique Strategies cards are a pack of 100 cards, and they offer strange suggestions for what to do as part of creative process. And so let's ponder that for a second, what it would be like to disconnect from desire, which is especially interesting given the power of desire in your chart as it stands inherently and as it stands right now. Mars being the ruler of Scorpio, by the way, in traditional classical astrology. So you have the ruler of that fifth house of passion and sex and surrender and that kind of creative ferment. Occupying around this time of the year, your first house, Cancer, and second house, that is all about not only connecting with desire, but completely embodying desire. There's no disconnect in Mars in your first and second houses. That is a full commitment. So what would it feel like to disconnect from desire? What would happen? And so you can use that as a kind of an experiment. I have a feeling that this is one of those messages that may take a little while to set in. And I don't think what he's saying here at all is that desire is bad or there's something wrong, but rather to disconnect from desire as a way to see what it's like, perhaps to connect with something else, to see where your creativity goes when you do that, and to see if maybe there is some force in the universe other than creativity, rather other than desire, that will connect you with something else. So there's a exercise in detachment suggested in the midst of an astrological picture that is all about passion and attachment and identification with desire. So when you see that kind of unusual corollary where the divination device matches the theme, but it matches it in a way that tells the other side of the story, I always think that's worth paying attention to, that's worth actually observing and noticing and feeling and seeing, what that does. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the third house for a second. It's a very important house. It's an extension of the second in that it is kind of like the community chest. It's not about the big society. The third house is it's a picture of the family house at a young age. It is also a picture of the family villa. So back in the day when every little family barnyard kind of arrangement was a little tiny town with a number of people living there, some of them relatives, some of them farmhands and helpers and workers and a whole bunch of animals and children and cousins and extended family. The third house was that, that image. And so it's the house of neighbors, of brethren, and of your immediate community. And the emphasis is shifting into this house. And there is a rather profound message here about accessing community resources and bringing yourself into your community as a factor in your community, as someone who inserts your energy into the community, who takes leadership in the community, and who also draws energy from your community. Now, I know that we live in a time, pardon me, Weisengwe here, that where the concept of community is very narrow, and it is stuck on the internet. And I think that for your purposes, it's essential that you get your community into real time and real space, and quite literally get to know your neighbors and your city councilmen, and actually physically know the town and the streets in which you live as a means of opening up to your true foundation of support. In a fully expressed creative life, I believe that that engagement with the community is essential. And the level on which you would be engaging is a level where you are sharing intelligence. There is a source of intelligence in the community, so the sharing comes your way, and then you add your intelligence to the community's intelligence, and you go its way. That could be in the form of teaching. It could be in the form of gifts of library books. It could be in the form of participating in the affairs of the town on some level that you like. It could be, as mentioned, teaching. There's likely to be a spiritual element involved because Jupiter is there, but there is so much emphasis on your third house now. And this is only going to increase over the years as the South Lunar Node comes into your third house and the eclipses come to your third house, that you might say, when in doubt, refer to your community. And further, when in doubt, consider yourself a resource, a creative resource for your community. On all of the topics that I have described, you can be the go-to person, the neighborhood person, who is available to share with people that which you know and understand and love. And there is so much learning in the experience and the act of teaching that it is astonishing that this is not put forth as a means of accelerated learning much more often. But if you want to learn something, teach that thing. Teach it. If you can only teach it on the most basic level, then you teach it on the most basic level. And you will concentrate and consolidate your learning very, very rapidly. And you will put yourself in a position to learn from the words that you speak and from the words that people who are supposedly your students say to you, and from that dynamic that emerges between teacher and student that allows community to grow around something that is genuinely meaningful. I do think that a lot of the internet community that is happening is genuinely meaningful and very well intentioned, but I think that it falls short because as something that is abstract and online and where there's a lot of anonymity and where people can just delete each other, that there is a lack of a sense of real investment, a lack of a sense of authentic contact, and a corresponding lack of the risk that is necessary for contact and for intimacy. I mean, you're born under the sign Cancer or have some strong placement in Cancer. To you, life is meaningful when you can get together with people and make food. And I think that the whole making food in your community thing, whether it be little dinner parties or potlucks or whatever that might be, will be a fabulous way to enhance your self-healing process and a way to make contact with a daring dimension of your creativity. And this is going to put you around people. You need to be around people, not all the time. You need to be isolated a good part of the time as well. But then when you need to be around people, Facebook is not going to do it as habituating as it might be. You've got to get near other humans, and you need to see your family every now and then. And if you do not have particularly close contact with a family of origin, then family of choice is the thing to do. And we certainly live in what we might call the era of the family of choice. And your chart is just vibrating with this whole family of choice thing. One other point, and there'll be more clues about this in the Aries reading, but you are on the verge of some truly significant breakthrough in your professional life. Something about the way that you express responsibility and express yourself and connect with the world and the dynamic which you use to interact with people in the professional sense is coming on strong and fast, and the approximate time frame is about 2 years. I devoted almost the entire Cancer reading to this, the one that I did, the most recent one that I did. I'm going to add on my list of resources the preview of that reading, so in case you don't want to buy it. I have a nifty written preview of that, and but I would suggest that you listen to that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that I put it on sale at reduced price, just to make sure that it's a little bit more accessible, because this kind of professional breakthrough is really rare, and you are very close to it. And if you align yourself with this and you stay close to your community and stay close to your resources and you know who you are, or you embark on finding out who you are and you live in peace with your sexuality, with expressing your sexuality, really exciting things are happening. As I've suggested in the introduction, definitely check out your sun, your moon, and your rising. But you would do just as well to play any random sign and hear what comes out of that conversation. Okay, I'll catch you somewhere else around the wheel. Bye for now.